Okay, this study was conducted to assess the Michigan bred soybean lines for resistance to soybean aphid and Japanese beetle defoliation. As all of you know by now, soybean aphid is one of the most damaging insects in soybean, and it's native to Asia and was found in the US in 2000. And if untreated, it could cause a yield loss up to 52%. And since the introduction of soybean aphid in 2000, we see an increase in insecticide use in soybean fields in US. And another way of managing soybean aphid is through houseplant resistance, as you all know from the previous presentation. One of the first soybean aphid resistant genes were RAG1 from Illinois. Actually, I have in my audience the person who was mainly involved in finding this gene, Dr. Curtis Hill. And to help farmers combat this problem with soybean aphid, the MSU Soybean Breeding Program also initiated a lot of studies. And in 2003, they screened more than 2,000 soybean accessions originally from China, and found four plant introductions that conferred resistance to soybean aphid. So in this picture, you can see one of those resistant accessions. It's called PI567598B. It was crossed with a commercial soybean aphid susceptible cultivar called Titan RR to develop a series of breeding lines called EO6901, 905, and 906. I'm sure most of you saw that in the previous presentation as well. And they show a resistance in the field, and my studies were to further evaluate them in the field to confirm it. So, with the North Central Soybean Research Program, one of the objectives for my project was to assess these lines for aphid resistance in field plots. And for last year, we collected data from early June to late August on a weekly basis. We got person plants infested with soybean aphid. And for the month of July, this is what the results look like for a week in the peak period. We saw that fewer plants were infested on the three MSU lines, 901, 905, and 906, compared to the susceptible we had in the field, which was a DeKalb 2753. And during that peak period, another interesting thing happened in our field. We got a huge outbreak of Japanese beetle, and we saw very obvious differences in beetle feeding in that among the four treatments we had. So we wanted to do some kind of a quick damage estimate. So what we did was we select randomly picked 16 plants from these four lines and counted the number of leaflets damaged and got the percentage of leaflets damaged. So the orange bars correspond to the percentage of leaflets damaged in this graph. As you can see, to our surprise, the three MSU resistant lines had the most damage compared to the susceptible line we had in the field. And even though we did not do any kind of defoliation assessment for this study, the pictures correspond to the lines above them. It's just there to show you how much damage we saw in the field. So with that in our mind, our objectives for 2008 were not only to assess these lines for soybean aphid resistance, but also for Japanese beetle defoliation. So in addition to the three MSU lines, we had its susceptible parent Titan RR, and we had a line from University of Illinois which has the RAG1 resistance, LDO516060, with its susceptible parent STO176R. So our objectives were to assess these lines for soybean aphid infestation and to do a Japanese beetle defoliation under natural field pressure, under choice conditions, and under no choice conditions. So our field study this year consisted of two parts. We had a soybean aphid study and a Japanese beetle study. For the soybean aphid study, we had six treatments mentioned in the previous slide in RCBD in four reps. in our study site in East Lansing, Michigan. This is my student checking plans for aphids. That's what he did. That's what we did on a weekly basis. So we counted the number of plants infested per plot to get some idea about the soybean aphid abundance on these lands. In addition, again, as we expected, this year also we got an outbreak around mid-July. And this time we wanted to get a more accurate measurement on defoliation rather than getting just percent damage. So, and also in the field, we observed that the defoliation was mostly focused on the top of the plant. So what we did was we just picked the three most damaged trifoliates in a soybean plant, and each leaflet was given a defoliation value, a percentage based on a commonly available defoliation scale for soybean. And this is what we found out. For soybean aphid infestation in July, for the peak week, again, very low infestation of soybean aphid on the lines, on the three MSU lines, compared to the two susceptible lines. And we had moderate amount of aphids on the LDO516060. And for percent defoliation for Japanese beetle, again, we observed more than 50% damage, 50% defoliation on the three MSU lines, and moderate amount of damage on the on their parent, Titan RR, and very low damage on these two lines from University of Illinois. So again, it showed that the MSU lines were resistant to soybean aphid, but they were heavily defoliated by Japanese beetle. So as part of our lab experiments, we wanted to do a choice test. The idea was to see if the beetles would pick one particular variety if they were given a choice. So we collected hundreds of beetles from an asparagus field nearby, and we starved them for 5 to 6 hours. And this is our experimental unit. We had 10 replications of this. In each experimental unit, we had leaflets from the 6 treatments, and we put 12 beetles per tray and fed them for 24 to 48 hours. And to get leaf area measurements, we used a common desktop scanner with the software Sion Image 4.03, and the images were saved as TIFF, and the leaf area was calculated in square centimeters. So I'm sure most of you know this, how the defoliation is measured using this software, but I'm just going to go through it. It's the main steps are that you have to scan the same leaf before and after beetle feeding. So first step is getting the green image, and then you convert it to a black and white image where you can get the total leaf area measured for an undamaged leaf. And then you get, again after feeding, you get the green one, you convert it to a black image, and then you invert it so that the area that's been defoliated will be highlighted in black, in a white background. So using this and this, you can calculate the percent defoliation. So this is just a picture of one of the experimental units we had. Please notice that not only the MSU or the resistant lines, even its parent had damage, and in this one it actually has more damage than some of the MSU lines, but when you get all the data and when you see all the results, you will see that it also has susceptibility to a Japanese beetle. And the two lines from Illinois, the SDO176R and LDO5, did not have very severe damage. So we had three trials for the choice test. For the first trial, we got scans up to 24 and 48 hours. We do not call this a very successful trial because after 24 hours, we had to remove the beetles from the trays to get leaf scans and put them back for 48 hours. So I think even though we did see significant differences after 24 hours, we lost that after 48 hours. Maybe handling of beetles had a negative impact on the study. So the other two trials, we think they were successful because we did see significant differences. And what I want to emphasize here is that in all three treatments after 48 hours, the MSU resistant lines had the most defoliation, and the differences were significant in trials 2 and 3. And its parent also had a severe or slightly less damage or equal damage, and the two LD-05 and the SD-01, those two lines, they had the least damage from Japanese beetle. So again, showed that the MSU lines were more defoliated under choice conditions. The second part was a no choice test. The idea was to see if the beetles would still lead the lines that they least preferred when they were given a choice. We had only four lines. We had the one that was most defoliated in the field and its parent, and the two lines that were least preferred under choice conditions. Again, the beetles were collected the same way. The experiment was done the same way, except that they were confined to only one leaflet this time, and we had 10 replications, and they were stopped for 48 hours. The results showed again that 906 was the one that had the most damage, and the SD01 still remained to be the one that was least preferred. And there is an increased preference for LD05 on 6060 under no choice conditions compared to the other experiment which we had, that's the choice test. And this again confirmed that the MSU line in 906 had the most defoliation under choice conditions. So our conclusions are that we think that the studies we did are sufficient to confirm that even though our MSU resistant lines show good resistance, they suffer greater beetle defoliation than the other soybean aphid resistant lines and the conventional lines. So our future work is mainly focused on making many crosses between lines with increased soybean aphid resistance and low beetle defoliation, and evaluate progeny for both traits that could ultimately be released. Thank you. And I would like to acknowledge the North Central Soybean Research Program for funding, and my for technical assistance, Mike Jewett, who is in the audience, and my student helper, Ben Phillips. Thanks.